Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Star Medicine Podcast, your source for astrology wisdom, divinatory practice, and deeper connection to your purpose. With your host, astrologer Jennifer Edwards.
Welcome. Like a phoenix from the ash of the flames, she rises, neither alive nor dead, just somewhere in between, where she was always meant to be, in the star medicine. And I invite you here for the next 60 minutes. Get yourself a seat, let your mind relax, and get right into your center. I'm tired. I'm nervous and I'm scared. Some days I'll go without hearing my own voice, but I'm alive and I'm full of life and I'm ready to talk all about where we've been collectively and where we are going. So we have just finished a 7-year, and 7 years are one of the most beautiful and I would say connective years that you can experience. You arrive at the 7-year by adding our calendar year numbers. So 2023 equals 7. This is a collective energy in numerology. And 7 is the year of spirituality and enlightenment, but it's also the year of spiritual awakening. What's interesting about this is that, it's the best of times and it's the worst of times. And often in order to arrive to ourselves, we must be forced away from our will. And that's the only way that we truly let go of control and allow the divine order, the universe, to take over, if you will. This year began with some beautiful aspects. As a matter of fact, last year, 2023, ended with a conjunction with Venus and Pluto, which should have given you some indication about what was going to be in store for us in 2023. One of the highlights for the beginning of the year, which kind of paved the road and paved the way for what was to come, was the new moon in Aquarius at 1 degree. This occurred on January 21st. This was within 1 degree of Pluto. And the reason why this was super important was because whether you actually could see it in front of you or if you could feel it, we understood that there were two roads. Okay. And so, in order to claim your real self, you are shown what liberation looks like. You are shown what your calling looks like. You are shown the version of your truest self. And then you are also shown that there was work to get there. Thus unfolds the next year. And with that being said, not only did we have this monumental new moon in Aquarius that really set our trajectory for 2023, but we also had Saturn ingress Pisces. So the last time Saturn moved through Pisces effectively was January 28, 1994 through April 7th of 1996. On March 7th, when Saturn entered Pisces, it brought in this new energy that we haven't seen for 30 years. Saturn is in a 30-year cycle, so it repeats signs every 30 years. And so we must look back for those of you who are alive and can remember that period of time. We need to look at things that we resigned our true selves into due to fear of lack of security or fear of our wounding sort of taking over, fear of failure and fear of truly being seen. With Saturn's return to Pisces over the next 2 years, what we can expect is, in a personal level, is sort of to do the work to reclaim ourselves, but also we are going to look at our deeper connection to spirituality and what actually keeps us from that. Spirituality is not a four-letter word. It's how we operate in this human form in order to create from our soul and in our purpose. What I love about Saturn in Pisces is that it is going to really look at what we are indoctrined in and the fear-based belief systems that others have put into place to control, keep us in power, and also the fall of the guru, which for me is something that I am sort of passionate about. I really believe that people should have the ability to share their experiences with others, but the only guru that exists is the guru within you, and that's an important understanding to have resonate within you. You are your own higher power, and you are your own guide when you are at baseline peace. Otherwise, you're being driven by a fear-based ego, triggered from the original wound of self-abandonment. So with Saturn moving through Pisces, we are going to see the retribution of people who want to help the masses versus people who want to profit from the masses. And I find that refreshing, to be quite honest with you. As we moved into the spring, shortly following on the heels of Saturn's monumental move into Pisces, we entered into eclipse season. And this eclipse season, we saw the resurgence of the Aries-Libra axis. What's interesting about Aries and Libra, and follows right along the path of the trajectory of the 7 year, is Aries and Libra are about reclaiming the identity. In previous years past, we were experiencing the eclipses in Taurus and Scorpio. In the eclipses in Taurus and Scorpio, we were moved where we were fixed in our ideals and our fears, where we were afraid to let go of security in favor of surrender to the unknown. So a lot of things came to an end out of our control, which was a good thing, because in hindsight, you never would have let go. And by letting go of, the white knuckles, we were allowed to see what can come in when we aren't holding on for dear life to something that isn't working. This is quite jarring, especially during fixed signs, because fixed signs have, a lot of dedication, blood, sweat, and tears. And when they put in time, they don't want to back out necessarily. So a lot of people had shakeups in their life, which was super important, but that was the first time that they were able to step into their fear of the unknown and actually feel alive and reclaim themselves. As we move through those eclipses, we move into Aries and Libra starting in 2023, which is reclaiming the true identity. And in order to really claim the true identity, you have to look at the masks that you wear in order to achieve safety and security outside of yourself. And so these eclipses that occurred in 2023 made you realize how you show up, why you show up, and how far away from yourself you actually are in order to make other people feel okay. Versus, basically creating disharmony inside of yourself to create harmony outside of yourself, which is not in alignment with who we are. So when we entered eclipse season, one of the beautiful things that happened is that on March 20th, we had a new moon, which was not an eclipse. We had a new moon at an arnetic degree of 0 degrees Aries. This is the beginning of a deeper understanding of who we are, what we want, but what do we do with this? Can we do this? And with this new moon, we kind of got a preview of what it would be like to be in that childlike freedom again of full creation. Following that, we had the official solar eclipse, which landed on April 19th, 2023. This was at 29 degrees Aries. This is important because 0 degrees is the beginning of the sign, which was the new moon, and then the following new moon solar eclipse is at 29 degrees, again an arnetic degree, which is the ending of the old identity. It's a call to action to move into who you are and who you truly are meant to be, and allow the people that don't resonate with that to kind of, you know, go on their own healing journey. And through that process, that is the divine order of things, right? But this particular eclipse was important because it squared Pluto, and it was also in a conjunction with the North Node that was finishing out in 3 degrees Taurus. So it kind of removed masks from people that weren't ready to remove their mask. And, you know, a mask sounds like a horrible connotation, but, you know, some of us, when we show up to things out of duty or obligation, or if we have to be a certain way in order for someone to receive us, what this looks like is that we're showing up in unconditional love to people, places, and things with conditions. And when we realize that there's that there's that distance, we start to realize that we're showing up for ourselves with conditions. These eclipses were meant to obliterate that identity. And as we moved farther into eclipse season on May 5th, we had a lunar eclipse in Scorpio, the last one until 2031, at 14 degrees. This was in a conjunction with Uranus. And quite frankly, the sun was in a conjunction with Uranus. And quite frankly, this was, you know, basically trying to get you out of status quo, making you see things from a third person perspective and understanding that the very things that you hold on to are the things that are going to bear you. I mean, whenever we look at the most magical moon of the year, which is the full moon in Scorpio, and having it be a lunar eclipse, we can see what drives us, which is often our fear, and it's the fear of the unknown. So the powerful eclipse season of the spring really kind of set the stage for the rest of the year, which was the reclamation of, or the rectification of self-love. And that was further emphasized by Venus retrograde, which happened on July 22nd through September 3rd, through the degrees of 28 degrees Leo, and then ending at 12 degrees Leo. This facilitated three first quarter squares to Uranus, which meant that whenever we tried to apply or receive validation outside of ourselves or change people to be a version of themselves to meet us, that it was completely obliterated. The whole point is that when you stand in your own perfect frequency, right, and in your own honesty, without a mask on, you attract what is for you. And that is, what is for you is a direct reflection of your own self-worth, your own self-love, and your own validation. We started to see things that we were showing up for that were not working. Whenever we have a retrograde in Venus, we're going internally and we're finally deciding, you know, our own value and worth, and living by those standards moving forward, which led us into the eclipse season of the fall, which were Venusian eclipses. And when I say Venusian eclipses, for those of you who are new to astrology, the eclipses of the fall of 2023 were ruled by Venus. So this was basically a Venus year to, you know, shatter our identity, to reclaim unconditional love for ourselves and accept only unconditional love from others, not showing up for love with condition. Right? Because we love ourselves. And there's a lot of wounding you have to go through to actually really understand what that means. But the first solar eclipse of the fall landed on October 14th. It was at 21 degrees Libra. And this one was at a square to Pluto, but it was also conjunct the South Node, which is important. So what this means is that Pluto is a massive ego course corrector, is the higher octave of Mars. And so it gives you power, but it wants to see what you're going to do with it. And you can't build anything in this universe unless it's truth. If something is not in truth or not in your truth, it cannot be built upon. So, you know, maybe it takes 20 years, but it comes down to be built only in truth. So that's what Pluto does. With Pluto at a square to this, we were starkly reminded how we have to sacrifice the harmony within ourselves in order to maintain environments. When we see that, we understand that those environments are not in service to us. And as a matter of fact, by us showing up, we're not even in service to those environments because we allow them to exist when they need to have their moment of their own reclamation without our energy. So there were a lot of come to Jesus moments in the fall, for sure. And as we moved into the final eclipse of 2023, it was the last eclipse of the axis of Taurus and Scorpio with a lunar eclipse at 5 degrees Taurus on October 28th. This had a Mars-Mercury-Sun conjunction and also a Jupiter-Moon conjunction. This was sort of an understanding of whether or not we are sacrificing who we really are for things or for false monikers of what it means to be happy. Kind of like when you're sold the American dream and you're living it, but there's a little child that's not fulfilled or seen. And so when that happens, we start to wonder, what is this really all about? And that's what I loved about that eclipse. It was very introspective. And I find that as we moved through the rest of the year, we were left with that understanding that this human experience likely could only happen once. And, you know, one of the most refreshing things that I can ever say out loud is, I don't know, but I'd love to find out. So with that being said, the end of the year, the end of 2023 was pretty much a Neptunian smorgasbord of the procession of planets moving through Sagittarius, making a square to Neptune. Not only that, but all of the planets moving through Sagittarius also made contacts with the galactic center of the universe, which is located at 27 degrees Sagittarius. It's basically the black hole of collective wisdom, right? People who have natal planets near here, my sun actually lands here, my natal sun, know things that they shouldn't know. They get downloads. And throughout a lot of my life, you know, I would have principles and ideas and cause and effect pop into my head and then later on have it verified through text, meaning through books that I've read 20 some years later that would validate what was coming in. So the end of the year was really a digestion period, full of downloads, really recalibrating you for what we're moving into. And we're moving into an 8-year. Our year ended with Mercury going direct. Mercury was retrograde December 13th, 2023 until January 1st, 2024. Now, 2024 begins on January 1st. That is our calendar year. However, the astrological year begins at the spring equinox on April 19th. And we really are in the last quarter, as noted by the winter solstice. So ideally, whenever we're talking in terms of numerology and numbers, we are in a different frequency. So when I'm talking about the years and, you know, deducting them down to the lowest numerical value, I want you to kind of picture it as like a radio frequency. We're turning into a radio frequency for the collective. And with that in mind, when we have a year of spiritual awakening where there's nothing but us and ourselves, and that the knowing that the only thing that keeps us from true growth and liberation is our fear of judgment, our fear of being seen, and our fear of being rewounded, is having that be the only thing that holds us back. The reclamation of self and unconditional self-love moving into the 8 year is the building year. So even though our calendar year says it's 2024, our new year does not begin until April 19th, 2024. But we can begin fresh and anew. The way that we want to work with the energy in 2024 is very much in our authenticity. We can only build in this universe in our truth. And our truth changes the more and more we meet ourselves. And that doesn't make you a hypocrite. It makes you an evolutionary being. And that is why we are here. You cannot heal other people. You can only heal yourself. And by virtue of that, it changes the frequency around you. You cannot force people into their healing. You cannot force people into seeing themselves. And when you do that, you have to take a step back and look at yourself and why you're willing that to happen. 2024 is going to begin with a bang. And what I say in regard to that is that we are going to have a procession of planets moving through Capricorn. We currently have that now. We have the sun currently at 14 degrees Capricorn as of today. We have Mars newly in Capricorn. Mars has not been in Capricorn since late December of 2021 into February of 2022. So we want to look back at that time to see what has crept in that maybe you tried to let go of back then, but over the last 2 years has snuck back in subconsciously. These are going to be patterns of creation, patterns of intention of creation that you're going to want to look at, because Mars is our baseline frequency of action, and it comes from a subconscious place. So even though your mind is telling you this is why I'm doing it, in your baseline frequency, if it's at fear, you're building in fear, right? So we want to look at why we're showing up for what we're showing up for. And also, you know, what the objective is, right? Is it growth or is it stagnancy? Is it stagnancy because stagnancy is familiar and growth is scary? So those are the things that we really want to look at as we move through January. Briefly, the highlights before I get into detail with January. First of all, you know, we are going to have the new moon on January 11th coming up here shortly. This will be the first of the procession of planets moving through Capricorn between January and February, making their last quarter trine to Uranus and Taurus. We want to be in the frequency of reception here. So Uranus is a collective consciousness, flashes of brilliance, instant opportunity type of energy when it's in a trine, but we can only be in reception to what we are ready for. So this means that prior to this, especially during this waning moon cycle, this waning moon in Scorpio today, we want to profoundly let go of the things that keep us out of our full growth. And that looks like fear. It's fear of the unknown. So what is inherently not working that you won't let go of because you're afraid to not have, or you're afraid of what will happen, but we know that you're not going to continue to grow. So if you want to be in reception to the sun trine Uranus, Mars trine Uranus, Mercury trine Uranus, and especially Venus trine Uranus, all coming up before the middle of February, we want to be able to have space to receive. And that's really what this is about. What I'm most excited for, and I think most people are in the astrological community, is that, you know, we are going to have the yearly Sun-Pluto conjunction mirroring the one from last year that I spoke about. However, the Sun and Pluto move at very different rates. So the last time Pluto was where it was at currently, which is 29 degrees Capricorn, was in the 1700s, right? So Pluto takes 248 years to make a full revolution around the zodiac. The Sun, however, takes 365 days. So they move at incredibly different speeds. The Sun is much faster than Pluto. When the Sun and Pluto make their final conjunction in the sign of Capricorn in our lifetime, they will meet at 29 degrees, 59 seconds of Capricorn, which is 1 second away of 0 degrees Aquarius. They will meet together at that last switch, tiny bit of a degree, and they will move together to 0 degrees Aquarius. That is going to be where everything comes together, where everything makes sense over the last year. All of your patternings make sense. And where you have the ability to rectify anything that, you know, you have created with a mask on with peace, which is, you know, sounds kind of, well, what does that mean? It means that sometimes we get ourselves an entanglement that does not serve us, but we're stuck in duty, right? And so we don't want to give up. We don't want to let things down, but we realize that, you know, nothing is serving anything or anybody. So the next natural step is to grow. This is the breaking free, the cracking of the egg and moving into true identity. If you don't, and you decide that I'm going to control everything, I'm going to control the situation, I'm going to play chess, I'm going to prepare for the future, I'm going to make sure that what I'm going to be willful, whether it is covert, which means unconscious, fear, or it is manipulative, which means it is conscious, it's conscious fear with action. It doesn't matter. You're going to be setting yourself up for some tower moments, because that's not how this universe works. So you really want to get clear with yourself what it is, no matter how scary it is, what it is that, you know, you want to create in this next 365 days. And if you are allowing yourself to create from surrender, or if you're allowing yourself to create from control. Because with this Pluto movement into Aquarius, Pluto is going to stay in Aquarius until, let's see, it'll be in Aquarius until September 1st. It'll be in Aquarius from January 20th to September 1st. It moves back into Capricorn for the last time in our lifetime. And then it finally transitions fully into Aquarius on November 19th, and it will remain in Aquarius until March 8th, 2043. I love Pluto. I work with Pluto intensely. It shows me things that I don't even realize I'm controlling, and it allows me to surrender it even if I don't want to. And then it brings me to a place of baseline peace. My work over the last year has brought me to a place of such profound surrender. And I'm not going to get into it, but I'm not going to put it lightly either, that my capacity to love has expanded to points beyond. I remember at the beginning of 2023, I could feel I was growing, but there was nowhere for it to go. And it started to get so painful and I started to get scared because I knew something. I knew I could feel it. I knew something was coming. And then, you know, spiritual awakening comes from many dark nights of the soul. And when we pretend that they aren't happening or we can't give space for them, you know, they really can't do all of their work to turn us inside out and bring us back to the light. One must go through the dark in order to reach light. I wouldn't recommend doing it by yourself, to be quite honest with you. I would say zero stars, do not recommend, but I do know that the type of constitution that I have, that what doesn't kill me makes me better. It makes me stronger. It makes me clearer. And that's what it certainly did. So as I build in 2024, it's in surrender. I control nothing. I control nothing other than what I show up for and where I grow. And that's really the mantra of my life right now. And I'll be met there. You know, we're all met there. There's never be in fear of not being met, because you are your purest frequency, even if others can't see you. What is cool about the rest of the time is that we are going to be moving into all planets direct as of January 27th through April 1st, which means that even Chiron, all planets will be direct. So this is the time to start planting seeds. Even though it is the last quarter of the astrological year, this is where we're going to get the most accomplished. This is where we are going to be setting the foundation for where we're going to be later on in the year. And this is what you're going to want to do that. You're going to want to utilize this time, especially, you know, if something is scary and exciting, it's for you. It is for you. I could get into detail with that. I do that in my Moon Lodge group, but mostly we can always tell when we're moving towards our purpose because we're unfamiliar with it. So if we're scared of growth, then that means we need to move. We need to move towards it. We need to expand. And rightly so, as we move into eclipse season of 2024, these eclipses are going to be mirroring spring and fall 2005. Every eclipse series every year goes back 19 years, and you have an opportunity to reflect on why you made the choices back then, to now make choices from a soul-centered place rather than a place of fear of lack, fear of failure, fear of duty, fear of not duty, all of those things. So we're looking at fear, or we're looking at growth, honoring who we are, or honoring someone else's intentions for us. And as we move into eclipse season of 2024, again, we will be mirroring spring and fall of 2005. If you can't remember that far back, I always like to put on a playlist on Spotify and of the year that I want to go back and then go on an intuitive drive. And usually the pictures will come floating back without me having to put too much thought into it. But our first lunar eclipse will occur on March 25th, and this will be at 5 degrees Libra. This will be at a trine to Pluto in an opposition to Neptune. So this is going to give you extreme clarity around maybe where you have been gaslit by others, maybe where you self-gaslit, maybe where people are wanting to keep you in a role so they don't have to do their work, their growing, where they want you in service to them. And that's their main objective. They don't really see you. They just want you in service to them for their mask, right? For their identity, which truly is not them. So this is going to be a game changer as we move into March. The solar eclipse on April 8th is going to be at 19 degrees Aries. We're going to have a big procession of movement in Aries at that same time, which is going to be Venus, the North Node, the Sun, the Moon, and Mercury retrograde. All of these will be present in the sign of Aries during this eclipse, And there will be a square to Pluto. Mars and Saturn will be in conjunction, as well as Jupiter and Uranus to be in conjunction. So this is going to be, everybody's going to see everybody. There's no more secrets. Meaning, when I say no more secrets, it's like, you know, people who are codependent will latch on because they... Lots of reasons. I'm not going to get into that, but codependency is not – codependency needs an identity. And so when we break apart that identity, we realize that there really is no – the only fusion there is the fusion of wounding that both parties don't want to heal, and they just rewound each other. So whether this is work, whether this is friendships, whether this is family, this is a breaking way, this is breaking free, this is seeing things clearly – this is going to be a revolutionary spot in reclaiming your own true identity, your baseline frequency of identity prior to wounding, which typically happens when we're infants by other wounded parties. We're all born perfect, you know. We're all born perfect. And we learn how to not trust ourselves by emotionally abandoning ourselves at that first wounding. So this is going to be a reclamation of that. So we get to actually create from our real identity rather than what everybody else wants us to be, which is going to be amazing. Jupiter will make its way into Gemini. But before it does that, on May 25th, we will have Jupiter and Uranus in a conjunction on April 20th, which is super exciting. Jupiter and Uranus make a conjunction every 12 years. Because Jupiter is in a 12-year cycle around the zodiac. However, the last time Jupiter and Uranus made a conjunction together in Taurus was right after the Great Depression. So I love this for the collective energy, because this looks like a boom in the economy, but it also looks like collectively a boom in the care of the planet, a boom in self-awareness of being kind, of looking at our resources and, you know, creating a harmony around the symbiosis between human existence and the existence of the planet and how we both need each other. I feel like what we've been through over the last couple of years, this is going to bring a wonderful opportunity for us to thrive and flourish, as well as our environment to thrive and flourish in a cohesive way. Jupiter will then move into Gemini on May 25th for the first time in 12 years. Gemini will feel the immediate graces of that. Anywhere that you have Gemini in your chart, whether you are Gemini or not, everybody has all 12 astrological signs in their natal chart, as well as all 12 astrological houses. So there you do have a little Gemini in you. But wherever Gemini is located in your birth chart, with Jupiter's movement here, this is where you're going to see the energy of expansion in your own personal life. And also, all air signs will be trining Jupiter. So if you have air placements, whether it's angles or natal planets, this will be a bumper year for you, especially if you're building in your most authentic self, your most authentic truth. And all your most authentic truth is being emotionally available to yourself and growing from that baseline piece. What shrinks your baseline piece is not for you. What grows your baseline piece is for you. So that's where we want to create. So Jupiter in Gemini is going to also create collectively a bumper year of communication, of the ability to find answers for problems, to solve crises. And also the ability to find the details that keep us apart rather than connect us as a whole. So it's going to be a great year. As far as Jupiter moving through Gemini, it will make a trine to Pluto on June 2nd. Jupiter trines Pluto every 3 years. But what's different about this is that Jupiter is going to make a trine to Pluto from an air sign for the first time in 13 years. It's been doing it from earth signs. So we will see a lot of creative writing. We'll see a lot of expression. This will be transformative expression, as a matter of fact. We'll also get news around this time, as well as internal news. We have much to learn about ourselves on this walk, right? And Jupiter will also square all the mutable signs. And so Saturn is located at 17 degrees Pisces during this time. So Saturn square Jupiter is going to look like maybe where we're being, where we may be escaping ourselves through, or escaping our feelings through avoidance, through imbibing, through overdoing it, through overspending. And this will kind of bring us back to center, because nothing is ever created when we are trying to escape ourselves, right? We need to not do that. We need to realize that whatever it is we're escaping, we probably shouldn't need to show up to any longer. It's served its purpose and function. And then we move into the eclipse season of the fall, which will see the first lunar eclipse and the first eclipse in Pisces in 9 years. So we are going to be shifting axes here. We'll begin to see the lunar, we'll see the lunar eclipse at 25 degrees Pisces on September 17th. This will be, the moon will be in conjunction of Neptune, and the sun and moon opposition will be in a square to Jupiter and Gemini. So this is going to be asking you where you are removing yourself once again to create a fear-based ego. It wants to reconnect you with your higher self. You know, one of the things about your higher self is that your higher self wants to merge with you, right? So, you know, if we look at different states of consciousness, our higher self is us. It's our mind that keeps us from our higher self. So, you know, if you are able to allow your higher self to step in and your intuition to take over, you're going to create your purpose. Purpose is the state of awareness and frequency at which we create at all times. It is not a thing. It is not a title. And it's individual to everyone, depending on where it is in your birth chart. But it is a state of awareness of creation. And so when we step out of alignment in that, which means we step into the fear-based ego or the mind or strategy, that type of thing, where we're playing chess, we're manipulating that whole structure. And it can't exist because it's not truth. So this lunar eclipse that we'll experience on the 17th is going to show you where you need to go and what will follow. And what I mean by that is it's kind of like we're going to see ourselves, and it's a check-in point. You know, are you building from your truth, or are you building from your fear? Are you trapping yourself to your fear, or are you liberating yourself with your truth, with your baseline, with your highest self? And then to round out the eclipse season of 2024, we will have a solar eclipse on October 2nd at 10 degrees Libra. This will be conjunct the South Node with Mercury, and it'll be squaring Mars. This is finally letting go of all the things that we find comfort in, but we don't grow in. So in astrology, the North Node is where we're going in this lifetime. The South Node is what we bring with us with gifts, but it entraps us. And when we get scared to move into the North Node, what we haven't done before, which takes surrender, and surrender is vulnerability, and vulnerability is to walk in surrender of the unknown in the present moment. And the South Node is where we don't grow, but we're used to. And we stay stagnant there. And so whenever we have an eclipse in the South Node, it shows us that our old patterns are karmic, and we don't want to be there anymore. We don't grow there. We die there. So this is going to be kind of an illumination of that as we end 2024 eclipse season. And as for retrogrades, you know, Mars will retrograde at the end of this year, beginning on December 7th. It'll station retrograde at 6 degrees Leo, and it will continue to retrograde into 2025 and go direct on February 24th at 17 degrees Cancer. Now, Mars retrograde tends to repeat signs every 14 years. So with that in mind, the last time Mars retrograded in the sign of Leo would have been December 20th, 2009 through March 10th, 2010. And it did this fully in the sign of Leo. This is where we give our power away. And we need to look at that, okay? Or where we give our power away by building in fear of the unknown. Mars is our unconscious intention of action and application of energy. So we want to look back at what was going on around December of 09 through March of 2010. But, you know, me and my patterning, me and my research skills, the last time Mars actually retrograded over similar degrees, which means it started in Leo and ended in Cancer, was actually December of 77 to March of 78. So the mirror effect of the exactness would be looking back around 45 years ago, which, you know, seems not relative, but really if you rabbit hole on this and you do look back at the energy that was going on and where you gave your power away and what you were giving your power to and what you were building and why, this will give you a really good indication of, you know, not so much what to expect. I'm not really into predictive astrology because I truly believe that you have to be fully in the present in order to arrive at any of the, in order to arrive at any of the gifts that are coming towards you or any of the frequencies, because you won't see them. You need to grow day by day by day by living in the present in order to have, in order to match the arrival of what is to come, right? So predictive astrology is for the fear-based ego to try to manipulate what the future is going to have, and that never works. But to use this for introspective purposes, you can look at where you give your power away, and maybe during that time frame, you can see where a pattern might emerge at the end of the year. So we will end 2024 with a Mars retrograde. Mars retrogrades every 2 years. So the last time we had a Mars retrograde, it was in the fall and winter of 2022. So we're due. We're due for a recalibration. Now, as far as we are looking at January of this year and February this year, you know, talking about the precession of planets that are moving in Capricorn now, we are going to have four planets trining Uranus, and this is a liberation factor. So it's almost as if, you know, the universe is going to give you an ice cream, but you can't catch the ice cream if you're holding on to shit, right? So you have to let go of the shit so you can catch the ice cream. This is a process. This is a trust, right? But we don't want to test the universe. You know, it's not like, okay, universe, I'm going to do this, but only if you give me this. That's not how it works. What you do have to trust is that everything that is for you, you'll never lose. And everything that is not for you, if you're holding on to it, it's because you're changing yourself to maintain something that's not for you. That's how I've been living my life. And it takes a lot of deregulation to get to that baseline of trust, for sure. This also is with inspired action too. You know, we have to create, we have to move, we have to speak our truth, we have to be transparent, and we have to share our gifts all in the same token. So, you know, can you stare at a wall and will things to come in? You know, maybe, but likely not. You have to move around. You have to experience life. And there needs to be inspired action from source, which is inside of you, in order to create from your truest baseline. Finally, you know, at the end of January, you know, we're going to start to have the Pluto conjunctions, which means that every planet that is moving through Capricorn will enter into Aquarius and will make a conjunction to Pluto. Pluto conjunctions and Pluto cycles are the eradication of all that is not true. And so we can restructure and build in our most profound truth. And so that is deregulating for a lot of people, but it's also medicinal, alchemical, and it will change you forever. And it's really supposed to. I mean, our walk is really to go back to baseline where we were born and create from that space prior to wounding. You realize all the infrastructure that we have around us is all because of wounding. You know, there would be no need for any of this stuff if people were in their own secure baseline. There just would be, we would eradicate strife, war, all of that stuff. But, you know, that's just like a higher perspective, right? So, you know, as we move into January, it's your choice. You know, do you build from your truth and authenticity? Do you speak in transparency? Or are you too afraid to lose? And I'll tell you right now, if you're too afraid to lose, it likely was never yours in the first place. So with that being said, I am so excited to be here, and I have a few callers. I will not be doing readings tonight, but I will take questions, and I'll go ahead and take my first caller now. Hi there. Welcome to Star Medicine Podcast. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, thanks. This is Jessica.
Hi, Jessica. How are you?
I'm good. It's interesting, your interpretation. And I do like what you say as far as like astrology is, you know, not to use it as predictive, but rather like, hey, here are the shifts to grow and heal. Because I've definitely found myself like really pissed off many times over the years getting astrology readings and then the things not happening. I mean, I feel like that's always happened.
Yeah.
And it really,
you make an excellent point. You know, it's really funny because the ego will, if I were to tell you the future, like if I said to you, Jessica, you're going to meet a lawyer, you're going to marry a lawyer, right? You would not, all the other people that you need to arrive to that lawyer when that lawyer comes, and therefore would not be an energetic match. The ego does things in such a covert way that you just do not get the lessons that you need in order to grow, to be in reception of that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know, with that said though, you know, because it's so toxic that people give readings like that, psychic readings as well as the astrology readings. But with that said, I mean, I have noticed patterns, and I was working through some stuff today, like I do every day. You know, just like kind of breaking the pattern, seeing, hey, we don't need to hold on to this anymore. Let's kind of sit with it and go through that pain so it like sort of clears rather than distracting myself. But with that said, you know, if I'm reaching out for an astrology reading to see when things are going to shift, because for years, and I'm not even exaggerating here, I have been working, you know, doing a lot of healing work to step into alignment with work that I'm supposed to be doing in this world. Now, I mean, that's what everybody's doing, adjusting with things. But with that said, and this is a little bit of like the poor me story, but I haven't really worked a lot. It's been a lot of internal work, and the money and doing, you know, again, like business with clients or getting a job or whatever has been like sort of non-existent or very like little. So it's caused like a lot of stress, you know, because of programming. But like, so when I speak to somebody and I'm like, hey, you know, when is this going to come together? What's going on? I mean, I don't know how to find really peace around this because, again, the predictive astrology is like, well, this is when this is going to happen, and it never has, and I'm still working towards it to this day. So what would you suggest around that stuff?
Well, so I'll give you a piece of advice, okay? And I'm really glad that you called because you give me hope, okay, first of all. Second of all, one of the things that I learned this year was stepping into an old identity that I had given away. And during the Uranus squares this summer, started to panic about money for like the first time in like 3 years. You know, I never really, as long as I showed up to do what I love to do, like I have always, you know, been supported somehow, right? You know, I don't pander my services to, you know, satisfy what other people might want. Rather, I listen to what I want to show up for. Okay. And so what ended up happening was that in my prior life, I was a dental assistant and I stepped into a role where I, was covering a maternity leave, and that never would have happened if I didn't get deregulated and let my mind start plotting out the future, right? But through that process, I started to realize I learned some valuable lessons while I was there. First of all, healed some childhood wounding, meaning I had been repeating that pattern since childhood over and over again of handing the tools over, right? Of wanting to be helpful. And understanding that I don't need to put myself in that position anymore of, you know, potential failure because I'm not going to fail. Okay. But my point is that whatever you are doing, if you're doing it because you're afraid to not do it, meaning like you're afraid to not make money or you're afraid to put, you know, put, food on the table type of thing, you got to look at the reason why you're showing up to do it. I don't know what you do for a living, but the way that I moved into sharing my gifts, I've been doing astrology since I was 13, and you know, didn't move into doing it professionally until I was probably in my late 30s. And I didn't see the worth and value in it because that was just the structure I was raised in, right? You do something safe. And you do this thing as a hobby, right? I believe it sounds like by the sound of your voice, we're probably in the same generation. So the way that I moved was with one foot in and one foot out. So that way I wasn't worrying and I could really step in fully to what I was doing. As for shifts in what you're getting for astrology readings and wondering, you know, how can I look at my own chart? You can look to see in the houses of where great change is going to occur. Now, you know, what do you do for a living?
So I do healing work. So I'm in the spiritual field like you. Okay. I never did.
I have 90 seconds. So I just wanted to let you know that. Okay.
Okay. No, I never did that route that you did as far as get a job and be secure with that, do it as a hobby. I've always done this full time.
And I'm so happy to hear that.
But it's been an interesting ride because I haven't been able to fully support myself. Again, like the resources always came in other means, but I want, you know, the thing is like, well, I want to provide for myself rather. So it's been years of me trying, and I'm sort of convinced at this point that it's not a healing thing anymore. It's just like sort of a life path that you have to surrender. And when it sorts out, it sorts out, which.
Well, I don't mean to interrupt you only because I have 20 seconds left. Jessica, I would love to spend time with you. I think that we could probably figure out a lot of things together. I do invite you to find me on Facebook, or find me on Instagram. I'll have all of my contact information in the show notes. And have a good night, everybody.
Thank you, too.
Are you still there, Jessica?
I am here.
Okay, I don't know if it's still recording, but I'll still talk. I just wanted to make sure because the
it
always ends on its own. This will likely make the after show if that's okay. But what I would recommend is I think what would be good is if I could look at your chart and be able. I mean, you've listened to how I kind of approach astrology. It sounds like you and I are on the same page. It might be worth it for you to let me look at your chart to take a peek at, you know, what is going on. I'm an intuitive. I would never say that I'm psychic. However, I have experienced so much in my life, you know. It's one of those things where it just all sort of comes in. But I wish that I could look at what you're looking at so that way I could tell you what is there, what is potentially there, meaning like where are the blocks in there? The way that I look at astrology is that your birth chart is the roadmap back home to your baseline. And, you know, mm-hmm. if we choose to enter this plane of existence, right, then we also choose our trials and tribulations to come back home and create from there. You know what I mean? So I don't know if you've ever gotten a reading like that, but if that sounds like something that you'd like to explore.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, you're good.
Yeah, I've gotten tons of readings. Like, I'm at this point that I'm so, because I am a psychic medium, and I just am so turned off from the whole spiritual field with that. The astrology, even though I'm listening, you know, I caught your show for the first time here, but with I'm just so sort of turned off with the spirituality things as far as it's so much work. And that was one of the things that I'm also like unraveling now. And I just kind of stopped of like, just don't go back to not working, you know, like that's also like a childhood wound, like an old trauma of like the constant workaholic thing. And I was like, just stop trying, stop working, you know, just sit with that, the emotions of it's always like sort of the carrot on the stick, like keep going, keep healing yourself. It's like enough already. So that's
well,
kind of
listen,
where
are you healing? Are you healing yourself for the intention of something, or are you healing yourself to be present with yourself?
I do not. Well, so here's the shift is that I'm always going to be healing because this is the stuff I guide people through. And
totally, we don't ever stop healing. You 100%.
Yeah. I mean, this is just my path to go deeper and deeper, and I enjoy it. But the healing in order to get the goodies, I'm done with that. And also I'm done with the healing all the time. You know, the spirituality started off as like a hobby. This was like 20 years ago. It was a hobby, yeah. But then it became an obsession. And then it became, let me get my goodies, because all that whole Abraham Hicks and law of attraction bullshit. So it's like,
that's all ego.
You get obsessed.
All ego. Yep.
Yeah. So I'm like, I'm not doing that anymore. And I was like, just sit and cry if you need to. Just sit and be with yourself. Let's build out other areas of my life. Because it's always like, let's get the career so we could build other areas. And it's like, it's just been years go by. And it's like, holy shit, my whole life is going by. And I'm still not on this foundation with my career yet and money. It's just sort of maddening.
Well, I mean, have you explored what lights you up, or are you on a 100% focused trajectory on what's not working?
No, I focus all the time on what I love, and there's been a huge shift, but still it's still that feeling of not there yet, and it's not like, it's just not consistent income. I haven't made income in my business for a really long time. Like, I've had support other places, but it's just like that one piece that it's, again, I'm more on the side of like, hey, we have our life path and you just go through it smoothly. Like, you
when's
know, rather
birthday?
Than having it be so bumpy. It's
1677,
July 16th, 1677.
Right. What time were you born?
7:12 p.m.
And where were you born?
New York City, Manhattan.
Hold on. Oh, you have Capricorn rising. All right. I'm just looking at a couple of things here. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that I see here that is, this is what I have for your birth chart. So I just want to make sure that I am reading this correctly. So I have you a 6-degree Capricorn rising, 1-degree Leo moon, 24-degree Cancer sun.
Yeah, correct? I don't know the degrees, but you got the signs right. Yeah.
Okay, good. All right. So what I'm seeing here is you do have a lot of psychic contacts. What I'm seeing here is that you have a lot of fixed energy in your chart. Fixed, I do too. So, you know, I'm not, you know, telling you anything you don't already know, but I also have it as well. And one of the things is that we have something that is called covert will. And until we let go of control of everything, right, which means that, you know, whenever we try to push, whenever we do things for the purpose of results, right, results orientation, then the actual application of intention is for an outcome. So are we really living in the present when we do that? Because what I'm going to say is, from what you've told me, my life's gone by. I'm doing all this work. I'm not seeing any success. And time's just going by. I'm doing all the right things. I'm feeling my feelings, but time's going by. But it seems as though that even though you do things that bring you joy, that ultimately there is some sort of expectation for yourself in order for you to, you know, feel like you're moving or have any kind of success.
Yeah, I mean, that's where the programming comes into play, because it's like, to make, you know, how are you supporting yourself? You know, you need a house and food and that. And that, I've been carrying that wound, that shame with me for 20 years, probably 15 years, whatever it's been.
Well, I mean, your natal Chiron is located in Taurus, first of all, and it's also located in your fourth house, which means that your initial wounding came from judgment and expectation from your home.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right. So, I mean, I'm not going to tell you anything you don't already know, but I mean, you judge yourself in that same way.
Well,
you know what I mean?
I don't know how to unravel.
I mean, and we're on a live broadcast, so I don't know how. Like, I'm not gonna go into massive detail because this is personal. You know what I mean? So, like, you know, I don't want to be like, oh, blah blah blah. But what I am trying to say is that your intentions are correct. What you're doing is correct. You need to let go of the outcome. So, if I said to myself, what makes me spiritual? So I'm going to do yoga. I'm going to do this. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to cry from 10 to 11, and I'm going to go for a walk. All of that is not letting go. All of that is structured, and all of that is not who we really are. That's the mind. So if I don't do yoga one day, am I not spiritual? Right? I guess my point is, I know you're trying to, I think I'm making a point. I probably am not. But I guess my point is that when we try too hard to get something that's within us, the way to get it is to let go.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have, you know, just to kind of back up what I'm talking about here, I mean, you have a stellium in Leo, you know, you have Uranus in Scorpio, and you have Chiron in Taurus, as well as Mars in Taurus. You know, sometimes the road to glory is not the one that's paved in front of us. The road to glory is the journey within. I did not learn that until I hit a brick wall about 1,000 times. And I have a stellium in Scorpio, and I have planets in Leo and Taurus. Matter of fact, you and I are pretty close in age. If you can let go of what the outcome needs to look like, and I understand money, right? But what I'm saying is that, like, if it's money, then do something else. But if it's your passion, do that on the side, so you don't have to look at it and poke it with a stick to make it do something. There's too much attention on that part for it to do something. You got to take the attention off of that because the wrong intention is in it. If it's not doing anything, all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, when is it going to do something? I'm scared it's not going to do something. You know? The one foot in, the one foot out for me was the best line of attack because, you know, even though I didn't love what I did at the time, it gave me the freedom to explore without any bounds what I do love to do. Now, if I jumped into what I do 100% bread and butter, whatever, I would have been poking it with a stick, and it surely would have not been for the, you know, even though I have the best intentions, when something is being stared at with a fear base, like it has to do something, it's not going to. By virtue of law of the universe, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you've been doing this for a really long time, so you understand baseline intention and you understand, you know, covert sort of fear, right? So I wonder if maybe, you know, if it's a financial thing where, you know, you're getting actively nervous to providing for yourself, pull back and do something else. So this can become a passion project again, rather than it's got to do something or else I'm screwed type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's not the energy that you want to put into a passion project.
I agree. I agree with everything that you're saying. I have tried that for the last 2 years. Get any job, and my soul has not let me do that. So
no, I get
really
that.
What,
I get that.
What the experience? Because I was like, this is. I was like, I give up. And I mean, talk about hitting blocks like nonstop. You know, I mean, again, like, and there has been so much success that I've had, and it's also but that one thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of successes, and I'm actively like always appreciating myself with that. But for some reason, my soul was like, you know what? You're going to master this lesson while you don't have anything else. Because I spent like the last because I moved to a new state and I've been trying to get a job. I guess it's been a year and a half and it hasn't worked. It just hasn't worked. Like, I was in a place, I was only able to stay there for like 2 months. It was totally toxic. I got bumped out of it. Like, I get knocked out of places. So now what I do is I've been forced to just release expectations, but at the same aspect, like, I just interviewed for this like great, this job that would be great for me because I'm like moving into corporate consulting, bringing in this self-development stuff and healing.
Oh yeah, for
sure.
Which
I love that. And I just interviewed for this great job and I was like, I'm always like, come on, let's move it fast. And there was like sort of, hey, we got to wait a few more days because until this person can interview you and blah, blah, blah. And so it's like the last couple days, it's just been clearing the, hey, we're not always going to be disappointed, because I've gotten so close to things over the last year and a half that then I shifted out of it. You know, it was like, I just needed that energy. And then it was like, okay, carry on. So like my new mantra has been like, I get physical rewards because I get a lot of spiritual rewards. I get a lot of spiritual growth, but it's like, I want to be able to provide for myself already. So it's, I agree with everything you say. Every single day I feel like I'm great. And then I kind of go into this thing that like something will come up that I have to let go. I'm like just kind of tearing up and like, I this thing will end when it ends, you know, it'll connect and come together when it comes together. And it's just one of those things.
Yeah, but
I mean, in
a vernacular way, you understand that, but do you understand that deeply?
I think
I'm learning.
Can
you truly let go, Jessica? I mean, like, can you truly let go of the outcome?
Well,
what I see here is that you have eclipses that are going to, the eclipse axis of Aries and Libra is going to be in your ninth house and your third house. So this is internal dialogue, speaking your truth, right? The ninth house, it's a lot more than that, but we'll just leave it at, you know, third house is internal dialogue, speaking your truth, speaking from your most transparent self, not from your fear. And it's releasing dogma. The ninth house is, you know, spiritual awakenings. It's foreign travel in the 3D, you know, all that. But it's also stepping into the role as a teacher. So with that energy present, what is happening here is that you're letting go of your identity of thinking you know and allowing yourself to let go of control so that way you can learn about yourself rather than, you know, create from this place of desire to receive. You're going to have a massive spiritual awakening this year. Not only
I've
that,
I've had a million
the North
of them. I've had enough.
No,
I've had enough of them.
Well, I mean, I know you did, but I can hear in your voice that it did not garner the results that you expected. So therefore you have to release your expectation of what it needs to look like, you know? And what I mean by that is that, you know, linearly, if I ride my bike from point A, I will get to point B. But if you still have the same self-judgment and you're doing all this work to receive something, you're not getting rid of the self-judgment because you're judging yourself that you're not receiving it.
Okay. Right. And that was a conversation I was having earlier. I was like, that's why I was like, I can't stand this like healing field anymore because it's constantly like, you're not doing something right. You better heal this. And I'm like, I'm not doing that anymore in order to.
You're always exactly doing everything right. Who tells you you're not doing things right?
Well, it's like if you just clear this block or whatever, I'm like, I don't feel like I'm blocked.
Who's telling
I'm on
you that?
My journey.
Who's telling you that?
I mean, I guess it's
Are you talking about other
point.
People, or is this you telling yourself that?
It's probably both. I mean, I don't really go to other people anymore because I can't stand them. I can't hear it anymore.
Right.
But,
right.
It's internal. It's internal now because, you know what? It's what happens is it's I mean, I was also saying this thing because I write books also. So I was like, you know what? I've been going through a lot of mourning as far as like, hey, say I never get the success that I want. Like, let me, it's going to make me cry right now. But like, it's like, let me just mourn that because I'm at a certain age and, you know, hey, this is maybe not happening for me. So like, I go through that. I'm like, maybe I just need to mourn all these dreams I had. Like, maybe that is just not going to happen. And then what came from that was like, you know what, if I'm going to be writing this book, or like, I've already written the books, they just have to get edited and put together and stuff like that. And I was like, if I'm going to put effort into this, do I want to do it for myself? Like, because this is honoring my journey. And like, that's the reason why I'm like putting things out these days. Like, I'm just doing these, putting these books together, not to help other people because I'm over that already. I'm putting out these books because they're stories of my journey and my struggles. And like, that's the reason why I'm putting it out. And I just, again, it's different phases of that, but it's like, I guess that's, I don't know. I don't have the answer. I don't have the answers. That's basically what it is.
Right. Well, with the stellium and Leo and Leo energy, what this really, it's, you know, you also have a T square to all the planets that you do have in Leo, which basically is indicative of a life's journey of only finding self-worth through success and validation. So that's the block. But I mean, but you know, if you look at it from a subjective point of view, that doesn't mean, okay, so let's work on this block between 10 and 11 every day, and then we will have success. What this means is that you create from a place of your inner child, no matter who's watching and no matter what happens.
I'm writing stuff down.
Well, I mean, it's going to be recorded and posted on about 10 platforms. So, I mean, our conversation's going to be everywhere. So, you know, I'd rather, you know, I'm not going to get into detail because it's your personal life, but if you feel that you're only valuable through your own success, then you fail. You're valuable as you are. Okay.
Right.
No,
you know,
I'm serious.
It's easy. Well, right. I mean, I'm co-signing. I mean, that's the work between 10 and 11. I got into a point that I've been able to suspend judgment and how I'm doing, I can do it for several months, but then when some sort of time limit hits, whatever that time limit is, you know, internally,
yeah,
that it's like I'm still not there, and that's where the pain comes in.
Well, because you don't feel like you're good enough. Have you done a deep dive on your natal Chiron?
I have not, no.
I would recommend that. I mean, if you want to go ham on your birth chart, I would do a deep dive on your natal Chiron. It's
and
in opposition
of you. And what would that do exactly? What do you think that would do?
Natal Chiron shows you where your initial wounding was that removed you from your intuition into fear-based ego and created a baseline fear until you unwind it. And actually, people our age, at the age of 50, you have your Chiron return. You're not 50 yet, but at the age of 50, at your Chiron return, it gets re-stimulated. And so you and I are about to experience that. And you have transit Chiron hitting your south node. So it's really important that if you get the opportunity to understand your Chiron and where that initial wounding comes from, you'll see why you always go back to self-judgment here.
Well, I mean, of course, this is sort of like the carrot hanging on the stick. So if it is that, and it's kind of shitty that it goes back to this, but it's like, so if I can finally get to the place of like the no judgment of self,
listen,
if I get to a
do you listen,
level
you hold
of that,
on before you even ask me before you even ask me the question, do you understand what you're asking me?
It's a predictive thing again.
Yeah, right. I mean, no judgment. I see you. I see you. You and I are, I'm not above you. We're together. I'm right. We're linear. But you're coming back to the same thing, which means that you are controlling the outcome. Whenever we deal with spiritual premise, which we are fully here in your business, all of that, when we're dealing with spiritual premise, we have to surrender to the unknown and not have will in this. You know what I mean? And it's like, again, you know, I could sit here. We've been talking for about 35 minutes. And I could, you know, you and I could go on for another 2 hours. And I could tell you what I think. But, you know, what it really boils down to is how much you're going to judge yourself through this process. Whether you're doing it right, whether you're going to get what you want if you do it. I mean, what really is showing up here is that there's a lot of self-judgment here, and there's a lot of will, and it's for, you know, when you have a lot of Leo placements like this, if you don't get the validation from the outside, then the self-worth plummets. And that's really the walk of your aspects here. There's a lot more going on in your chart, but, you know, primarily speaking. So what if you lost everything? What if everything you thought, right, but I mean, do you know what I mean? Like, right, but I guess what I'm trying to say is that, you know, when we try to control every little thing and every little outcome, sometimes the lesson is actually letting go of control. Like if you're coming to me, you know, on a podcast, you know, wanting to know the answers of your life, you know, through this, then all you really have to do is understand why you can't give yourself any grace. And that'll tell you a lot about what's going on right now.
I mean, I'm resisting asking you this, like a variation of the same question.
I know you are. I can hear it. It's okay. Listen, you can skin a cat 19 times. It's still going to be a naked cat. You know what I'm saying? Like it's going to end up being the same answer. You want me to tell you, I mean, I'm not saying this because you don't already know, but you know, you want me to tell you the answer.
Well, I understand the concept
you have that within you. This isn't a scapegoat or whatever. Again, you know, we're not in a one-on-one consultation here, so you know, it's almost. I have a couple friends like this, right? We go round and round in circles. when really what the answer is that, you know, they just want to know that everything's going to be okay. It's all they want to know.
I don't think I want to know that. I think I want to know, is that the key to, like, I think if I was working with a client, I think I would say, and I know that this is not that, but, like, even though you are,
right,
like, sharing a lot with me, and I appreciate
right.
that, but, like, I think that I would say, yeah, you, if you are able, and you can't judge yourself on how well you're doing it or not, exactly like what you said, but if you can
right.
just carry on the rest of your life and just being creating like a child, not judging yourself. That, I mean, I give myself pep talks and praise. Like, I tell myself I praise myself several times a day if I'm having, like, when things come up, you know, and also when they don't, you know, like, this is just one of my practices just to make myself feel good. And it's
yeah.
also truth, just like grounding myself in truth. But it's like, it kind of feels like that would be the magic key. Like, you just keep doing that, like how I've been doing. Like, just keep on the freaking path. Just keep going through the shift that you eventually you'll get there. And then that's it. Otherwise, yeah. I mean, I think that's kind of the answer. But I don't know. Yeah.
Well,
so I guess that
I
does
would
come
say.
Back.
Right.
Good.
And, you know, another part of this too, you know, your north node is in the ninth house and your south node is in the third house, which means that, you know, your gifts are understanding and analyzing every potential outcome, right? But to truly believe in something without attachment is where you're supposed to be in frequency in this lifetime. And I know that sounds crazy, but ultimately that's where you are supposed to create. I mean, your north node is in the ninth house. So.
Okay.
How much, you know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, that's the trust thing. That's the trust and
yeah.
living from passion.
Yeah.
And that's it. You call it a day and you can't say, all right, it's 6 months and where are my goodies? You know, did this work for me?
Well, because then all of a sudden now you're doing it with expectation of receiving.
But isn't that the formula? Like, if you're looking at
not at all. The formula
okay.
is you are. So therefore you are and you receive what matches that frequency. So if you, I guess you would say, if I am full of resistance, I'm going to receive a bunch of resistance. Theoretically, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know? As well as looking at your natal Chiron in Taurus in the fourth house, I would look at your south node in the third house and your north node in the ninth house. Now, listen, most astrologers are going to write about, you know, what you need to be doing for a living. That isn't what these points are about. They're about what you cling to, which is the south node, out of fear of the unknown, and where you need to be going in the north node, which is fear of, and you surrender here into the unknown without control, being fully in the present. So I think that will be helpful for you to
mm-hmm.
look at. Okay. You know, I'm not going to, you know, I've never gone 40 minutes with someone, you know what I'm saying? So I understand where you're at. I hope that I was able mm-hmm. to help you. You know, if you ever want to meet my, you know, my website is thankgoddess.org. But I hope that this at least gave you some insight to kind of do a deep dive. Objectively. Okay. Not with strategy.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate what you shared, because it's exactly the stuff that I bump up to, you know, like I'm fully yeah. aware of it. And it's like, you're just kind of making it more aware to me of like, hey, this is the block. And I know, again, that I have very, you know, very much then it's like, okay, let's go fix it, you know, whatever. But I think just mentally I needed maybe just to hear that. I mean, I've heard it before, but it's like I'm hearing it just again in a, you know, because when I speak to somebody like with astrology,
yeah,
they're all like, oh, it's a chart. Oh, everything's going to be okay. Oh, you're going to get, this is going to happen then. This is going to happen then. It's like after you go through years of hearing that, it's like, this is just total bullshit. Like I can't
yeah,
even
Yeah, well, a lot of people don't really understand astrology. I mean, again, how do I put this? When I first started doing astrology, I did it so that way I could figure other people out because of my wounding. And so I would try to predict the future, try to predict what these people were capable of, you know, whether I could trust them. So I could be hyper aware of my surroundings. I mean, I was 13. There's no internet
mm-hmm.
back then.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, once I got out of that part and I realized that I was so in my ego of not wanting to get hurt, that I started to realize that astrology is about understanding yourself. And that what is in your chart isn't a scarlet letter that you across to bear that you have to, you know, deal with for the rest of your life, but more the process of the journey home away from the initial wounding that separated you from yourself. You know, mine was listen, people who do not see themselves will never see you.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
It means that you've triggered them and so they have demolished and diminished you to a point where you question everything that you do
mm-hmm.
rather than be fully in the present. So when you're looking at astrology, what you're looking at is what you've been through and where you and how to get back home. And how do we know we're back home? When we are fully present without expectation of the outcome. What is for me is going to show up. I don't sit in the walls. I don't sit in my room and stare at a wall and expect things to move. That's not the natural order of things. But, you know, I go where my peace grows. I do not go where my peace shrinks. I don't force people to listen to me. I know that if they can't hear me, they're not ready to. That's not, you know, it has nothing to do with my worth and my value. So therefore, with astrology, you got to be careful because some people are just very linear about it. You know, and a lot of people don't really want to tell you the truth.
Well, there's a lot
they look
of
at it from a different
too.
Yeah, I know, right?
So do you think have you mastered your chart? I don't know if that's the proper wording that maybe you like, but do you feel like you've kind of, I guess, walked yourself back home? Do you think that you've, like, knowing what you know, have you been able to get
fully
in your
power?
No, well,
I'll tell you, I don't know if we ever fully go back home, but I do understand that a lot of what I've realized myself has taken no one could ever tell me, because of all my fixed placements, I had to figure it out myself, you know? And I just turned 47, and, you know, I had the, you know, probably about, I don't know, 4 or 5 dark nights of the soul. And it took that long for me to fully let go. And I'm not going to get into detail about it, but good. What I will say is that once I it all happened this summer, but, you know, once I thought I was coming out of it, you know, all of a sudden I would break apart again. And it's because the brain needs to know. The brain needs to know. And if it doesn't know, it's not going to be okay. But that's not the brain's job. Brain's job is to keep you alive. I mean, there's a huge explanation for that I'm not going to get into. But for me, in terms of my own birth chart, I see something different every time I look at it. I look at it in a different way. Yes, I've mastered my chart, but have I conquered my chart? You know, have I saved the princess from the dragon? Mm-hmm. No, because I think it's a lifelong process. But what I do understand is that if I don't walk in absolute transparency and honesty in all ways, then I'm pretending. And I'm pretending to control an outcome. And that's what I've learned this far. And things start to, my intuition starts to talk to me because I trust it. Because my brain isn't running the operation of controlling, whether it's in a covert way, out of fear of loss, or a fear of lack, or a fear of lack of validation. I've found a place where I have unconditional love for myself. And, you know, I say that softly because, you know, it's not a strong baseline, but I've tapped into something. You know what I mean?
Are you at peace with your life path?
Yeah. Yeah. It's the first time in my life. I mean, I've always been at peace with what I do, but it's always changed too. You know, like what I show up for, you know, what I think people, I mean, I don't do what I think people want. I do what I think they need, you know, and that's not from ego. That's from compassion. Sometimes they don't need me, and that's the best medicine I could give them. It's my absence.
Yeah, but I'm saying, as far as like the ups and downs and the different areas of your life, are you at peace with where everything is?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I mean, could I get to a deeper baseline? Yeah, I definitely could get to a deeper baseline. But I, the thing is that, you know, when you start moving through baselines, right, of reclamation, finding yourself, whatever, when you have like a dark night of the soul or several, and then you have like a spiritual awakening, a deeper understanding of the world around you, you know, that's your 5D presence, right? For lack of a better term, I hate the terminology we have for it because it sounds ridiculous, but you know, that's your 5D mm-hmm. presence. You know, if you grow exponentially and your 3D body doesn't have time to catch up, then there isn't an integration. So we tend to go back to our old, we'll test it. We'll go back to our old mental practices of, look, you can't make the universe prove anything. And I think that's one of the most humbling experiences to date. You know, when we start making the universe prove itself, we really got to look at, you know, what we're actually doing. We're controlling shit. Okay, I'll only do this if you show me this, universe. Prove to me you exist, you know?
Yeah, but do you walk around with any, like, a baseline of, like, frustration, anger, or sadness towards, like, certain areas of your life?
I listen to that if it shows up. I don't believe so. I think, you know what, I have spent this last year really processing, you know, what I can give to myself and trying to be the best mother to my inner child that I possibly can be. And I also have deep ingrained beliefs that my soul knows, that my brain constantly through wounding and patterning tells me isn't true. You know, I can say, to answer your question fully, that at 47 years old, I am at the most peace that I have ever experienced in my entire life. And I have quadrupled my capacity to love. And that's all I know. And I will protect that, you know, with everything. I will not put myself in positions where, you know, that's going to be taken away from me to prove myself. Because in that, just being in that position means that I have found myself. I don't have to prove myself to anybody. And that's the ultimate freedom, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is, really. You know, looking at your chart, it's funny. I have a Cancer rising at 6 degrees. So our charts are exactly opposite.
Mm.
Rising sign is my descendant. And your descendant is my rising sign. So it's interesting.
That's interesting.
I hope that helped.
Yeah.
When I edit this, I'm gonna try to not have this conversation on the podcast, but I don't know.
Okay.
Pretty sure I can edit it out. I don't really know for sure, but I hope that was helpful.
It was helpful. Mm-hmm. You might have, if you wanted to edit it out, I mean, you probably have to download the audio, cut it out, re-upload it, though. That's how that
probably
works with Blog Talk. Yeah.
Well, maybe all the listeners get to hear our chat. You know, who knows? Who knows?
That's okay.
You know?
It's helpful. Thank you.
If you're okay with it, you know, I'll just let the universe figure it out, but I hope that this was helpful for you. What?
It was. I know you're going to probably cringe when I say it, but yeah, it gives me a game plan.
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Look at, I'm just being myself.
How about less plan? How about 2024? Less plan, more game.
It's really about doing nothing, but at least it's like mentally, like I'm saying, okay, well, here's the plan, but it's like, I don't even have energy for it. So it's like, at least I know, okay, yeah, there's confirmation. It's kind of like a footnote there or a side note. It's something that I like know. This confirms what's been floating in my head. And then that's it. Like, I just want to have fun. I want to just have my life. My life has been resetting to how it used to be. And I'm just going deeper into that. And that's it. That's where it's at for me. Before I got obsessed with spirituality, before it became my work, when I used to have fun and whatever, you know, I mean, I'm not into all the things that I used to do 20 years ago, but it's just back to that innocence and that just that trust and zoning out and that things just work out. Cause they always use, they still do, but it was like, it became such an effort and frustration. And I'm excited about letting that go more and more. So
I'm excited. I'm excited for you. Thank you. Thank you for letting me look at your chart. Thank you for showing up and asking all the good questions. And thank you for letting me, you know, get into your world.
Mm. That's nice. Thank you.
Well, with that being said, I hope that you have an amazing 2024, and I'll be thinking of you.
Thank you. You too. Same here.
You're welcome. Have a good night.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
So for those of you still listening, I'm going to end the first podcast of season 4, episode 1, my Venus year of the podcast with my contact details. If you want to see me for a reading or any of my offerings, you can find me at thankgoddess.org, which is located in my show notes. All of my socials are in my show notes. And until we meet again, I'm going to have Sir Josh Robbins lead us out with his epic music. Thank you for joining us.